I just praise the Lord, my Savior. Because without him in my life, I wouldn't be anybody. And I'm not anybody. But he just saved me when I was 16 years old. That teenager, completely lost in the past, completely undone, walking in the darkness, suffering with great pain. And he was so loving to me when he looked at me. He found me, and I found him down on my knees. Amen. And I said, Lord, if you can do it for me, just do it, because I cannot do anything. Amen. To take this away. And he did it. Amen. Immediately. Amen. What I was looking for, he just did it instantly. And that is the Lord we praise together tonight. The one who saves. The one who cares. The one who gave his only begotten son who died for us on the cross. Antigua, Guatemala is a beautiful place. Every time you wake up in Antigua, you see the Agua volcano right there. You see blue skies, 76, 78 degrees all year long. Flowers blooming all year long. It is called the country of the eternal spring. But Antigua is one of the most popular cities, touristic cities, in all Central America. And that creates many problems, you know, to outreach for the lost. Number one, we are a lot of people. Only in Antigua we are 80,000 people. And then we have 16 other towns around Antigua. All of them named after a saint, Catholic-based faith. So 99% of the people in Antigua, they call themselves Catholics. And that just gives us a great, 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 you know, rejection to the true gospel. But praise the Lord. He opened his work in Antigua. Amen. He did it. I couldn't believe it. You know, I was out there of the hotel, and then I saw these men every day coming down. And I wonder, who are those men? And I tell you, before that, before meeting Brother Mike and Brother Matthew, I was feeling lonely because I realized that I was getting close to 60. And I said, Lord, I don't know how much time you're going to give me from now on. But I just don't want to die lonely because I've been rejected from churches. I've been kicked out from churches just because the way I believe. And I said, Lord, I have visited this church and I have gone to that church. And Lord, there is nothing good coming out of there, out from there. And here were those men walking by the hotel. And I thought, like, those men, they might be connecting the internet because they were repairing the street. Every day, Monday, they went down. They came back around 5. And I thought, like, what are they doing? So that Thursday, they talked to me. And I believe, truly believe, that was the Lord. Amen. And Brother Matthew came to me and he said, how many miles of this road you built a year? And I said, I don't know. And they said, aren't you the supervisor of who is building this? And I said, no. Are you the guys hooking up the internet? And they said, no. And I thought, like, what is this? And they said, we're preachers. Amen. And I said, well, I am a preacher too. And that was what I call the divine appointment. Man, so beautiful to see that the Lord still the same yesterday, today, and he will be the same. The same Lord. And here we were talking, you know. And then the first thing that got me on guard was, are you saved? I mean, they didn't tell me, have you accepted? They didn't tell me. No, they said, are you saved? And not really, man, what is this? And then I went back immediately to the time and place that Jesus spoke peace to my heart. And then I thought, like, what is this? This guy, they believe like I do. And that was the divine appointment, the divine connection. Praise the Lord for that. Because that was the beginning of the work in Antigua, Guatemala. And I thought, like, Lord, please don't send any more Americans to my life. I had enough with a bunch of them. And I told my wife, I don't want to go to listen, because Brother Mike invited me to go to the services they were holding in their hotel. And I thought, like, nah, I don't know if I want to go to hear this. And my wife, my beautiful wife that you already met, Odie, she said to me, why don't you go? It might be from the Lord.
Amen.
And I went. And I hear Brother Mike preach. And he was talking, his sermon was in Galatians, the book of Galatians, and I got fired up since the very beginning. I was, amen. And I was commenting with Matthew, and I thought, like, man, Lord, thank you for sending this man to my life. And the rest is history, because 2 years ago, the Lord started opening the mission in Guatemala. Amen. And you know what? We are more than 32 saved people. Amen. In Guatemala. We ministered. The Lord ministers through us 50 kids in a place called Shepherd Key. Amen. Every Wednesday. Amen. And we're holding Bible studies in a place called Vista Hermosa. And we're going to Macedonia. And we're busy.
Amen.
But the most beautiful thing is, no, I'm not there, but they're still doing the work.
Amen.
Ain't that beautiful?
Yes.
When the Lord just sends you other people, you know, it's not done only by yourself because it's too much, but the Lord takes care of those things. And then he raises some other good, you know, brothers and sisters just to take care and love, you know, the brethren over there.
Amen.
What a beautiful picture. That's what I call multi-generational success.
Amen.
You know what is it? Success? Because it comes from him.
Amen.
To him be the glory only.
Amen.
So everything started in Antigua. And I thought, like, man, this is a good thing. This is from the Lord. And immediately Brother Mike asked me, and he said, we have nothing to offer to you. And I said, well, I don't want anything from you either. The only thing that I want is I want to learn the word. I want to have a time with someone that can walk me through the word. And the Lord sent me Brother Mike. And he's always, you know, every week sending me text. Ready when you're ready.
Yeah.
Ready when you're ready. And I tell you, in Guatemala, I'm never ready. Because I'm always doing it, you know, something else. But when I tell him, here I am, we go through the Bible and we study, and it's been a great blessing.
Amen.
And I really appreciate Brother Mike's time. He's been such a blessing to my life. Through him, that's why this is the second time in my whole life that I am in a Missionary Baptist Church. The first time was this morning. And this is my second time worshiping with my brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And what a joy it brings to our lives. We were talking with my wife that we can't believe what God is doing right now. It's just refreshing, you know, because we were searching for so many years, you know. We were 10 years in a church, and then all of a sudden, because we were preaching differently, they said, like, hey, guys, you better leave. And you know what we did? We left.
Amen.
And here we are.
Amen.
In one faith.
Amen.
One unity. One God. One Spirit.
Amen.
Worshiping the Almighty Lord.
Amen.
And let me tell you, God has been so good to us in Antigua. So many things to do. So many souls that we don't save. He saved them. We just do the work. But he decides what he's going to do with those people. Okay? And tonight, I feel like we need to go to the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And I have something in my heart that I want to tell you. Okay? I don't know. It's going to be a mix of a report and a sermon, but I don't know what the Lord wants to say for us tonight, but I have something in my heart, and I need to say it.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to the book of Mark. Please, let's go to the book of Mark, the 10th chapter, please. And we're going to start the reading in verse 46. I love this story because I relate it with my life. I don't know who you're going to relate with. It with one person or another person or with Jesus, but I want you to relate tonight with someone because we have so much to learn from this little lecture tonight. It says, I was going to read in Spanish, but I thought like, man, it's in English. I have my Bible in both languages right now. And verse 46 says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Okay? And it says, 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will do that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. What a beautiful picture of the Lord. You know, when I see this, I see Mark. Mark paints Jesus walking from village to village, from town to town. Jesus is on a walk. Why? Because he's heading from his town to Jerusalem, to the cross. Jesus is on a mission. And the mission is to die for you, to die for me, and to save us forever from all the sins. Because if we go to Genesis chapter, the first chapter, it says that the ways of the heart of the man are completely evil. So Jesus came as the cure forever for sin into our lives. So when I see this story, I see Mark just painting Jesus. He's traveling. He's traveling with a crowd. He's traveling with his 12, okay? And he, in the context of this scripture that we read, we have Jesus telling three times that he's going to Jerusalem to die to his disciples. And the most important thing is, they don't get it, okay? They're close to Jesus, okay? But they're not paying attention of what he's really saying. He's telling them, I'm going to Jerusalem, and I have to complete this mission. And some of them says, Lord, who's going to be first in heaven? Some others said, Lord, when I go to heaven, the mother of some of them, they say, like, one, I want one of my sons to sit, you know, to the right hand and the other one to the left of you. And no one gets that Jesus, his final mission is to die for the world. What a beautiful thing. So we have this, you know, as a context, you know, the disciples are walking with him, but he is saying, what is he going to do? He is saying to us tonight, what has to be the priority number one mission in our lives is to die for our, to ourselves and to become servants of his work on this earth. And the story I relate with Bartimaeus, okay? I relate with him because in my life, in certain part of my life, I was completely in darkness. I was blind. I couldn't see. You know that I grew up in a Christian home? And I don't know how many services I went. And I don't know how many verses of the Bible I memorized. And I don't know how many hymns I sung. And I don't know. I did a lot of things in my childhood. But there was a time when I started with this discomfort and pain. And nobody had an answer for me. They said, like, if someone prays for you, it's going to go away. Well, a lot of people pray for me and they didn't go away. They said, like, maybe one day if you raise your hand or if you repeat this prayer. And I did. You know what? Nothing happened because the pain is still there, you know, back in time. So I related with Bartimaeus because I was blind. But then one day I met the Lord, and you know what happened? He made me see. He made me see. And now I'm not blind anymore. So that's the story of all of us. That's the story of the people in Antigua. I can tell you story after story about Mario, who used to belong to the gangs. I can tell you story after story about Roxana. Amen. Or I can tell you story after story about Hillary. Oh, Hillary. Only 21 years old. Lots of things in her past. But you know what? One day, we were climbing the hill. We were going up there, and we went over there, and we were praying like we pray today, you know. And the Lord moved because, you know, they started just crying and calling the Lord and shouting out for the Lord. And then we just pray with them and pray and pray and pray. And then she said, the Lord saved me tonight. Amen. What a beautiful thing. Like Bartimaeus. I don't know who you're going to relate with in this story, but we have to. You know why? Because this is the same story in our lives. God is calling us. What do you want me to do for you? And many people, they are looking for the wrong things. You know, in this world, people want money. Oh, it's all about money out there. It's all about me. Okay? They want all the flashlights on them only. Okay? There is a lot of, I want to be famous. Okay? I don't know how many likes I want to have. Okay? I want to be viral. That's a new word. I want to be viral. I want everybody in the whole world to know about me. Well, the Lord is calling. And knocking and saying, tonight, what do you want me to do for you? Yeah. Money? Fame? This world is going to stay here. We have a new home.
Amen.
We have a mansion. Okay? So, while we are on this world, we have to plug in to the work of the Lord, because time is precious. Because there's going to be a moment when the Lord will say, this is it. Okay? I am done with humankind, and he's going to return for his bride. And you know what? If we're not here, we're going to be with him. God is so good. So the story continues, and Mark paints the story very well. He says, he mentions Jericho. Jericho was one of the last towns on the way to Jerusalem. Many of the pilgrims that they were going to Jerusalem because of certain feasts, they will stop in Jericho if it was close to noon. Why? Because it was a hill from Jericho to Jerusalem. And they didn't want to walk that hill during this, you know, the heat of the sun. So many people will stop in Jericho. And the next morning, early morning, they will get up and they will continue their travel to Jerusalem. So my guess, the Bible doesn't say, but my guess is that Jesus did the same way. I think he got up in the morning. And as he got up in the morning, the word says that besides the highway, there was a blind beggar. And what calls my attention about Bartimaeus is his name. His name, because it says there, the son of Timaeus, the son of the honorable father. But based in the Jewish culture, okay, a beggar and a blind beggar was pretty much considered someone being cast out, okay? Someone being rejected, someone being weird, okay, from the regular crowd. So he was sitting, Bartimaeus, in the sidewalk of the highway. And you know what? He couldn't see, like many of us. But when the Lord passes by our sides, we will know. Because he made us sick for him, you know? He starts attracting us in different ways, okay? He attracted me in many different ways. And then finally, we are those beggars because we're begging to take our sins away. And here is the story, verse 46. Son of Timaeus sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Brothers and sisters, it is a time to cry out to him. You know what? Some of us did when we were saved. You remember that day? I hope you do. I remember my day. Oh, I was on my knees. And there was a song in Spanish being played. And those words, you know, just hit my heart. And I was right there on the floor crying out, Lord, can you do this for me? And Bartimaeus is in the same situation. He's crying out. He's saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, wow, what a beautiful picture. Jesus, Son of David, Yeshua HaMashiach, Melech de Israel. Jesus, Son of David. You know, Bartimaeus wasn't a disciple. He wasn't walking with Jesus. But he was the one recognizing the messianic title of our Lord and Savior. Jesus, the Son of David, meaning the Messiah, the King, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what I call faith.
Amen.
He couldn't see, but he was ready. He was ready. Brothers and sisters, brethren, the world is ready. We just need to pass by the highways. We just need to go to the houses. We just need to go where people is. You know, I was in Tennessee. We went with Brother Matthew for some tacos. You know what tacos is, don't you? I love tacos. You can tell. And when we got there, there was a family eating over here. And I told Matthew, I think they are Guatemalans. Matthew looked at me and said, how do you know? Because I know. Okay, I know my people. They're Guatemalans. They're not Mexicans. They're Guatemalans. So I went over. Of course, he says, like, I never met an stranger. I never met an stranger. I always know the people that I'm going to meet. So I went to them and I said, hey, how you doing? Where are you from? And they said, Guatemala. And I said, hallelujah, you know. They're not Mexicans, they're Guatemalans. Man. And Matthew, he said like, Well, the first question I asked them is, are you saved?
Amen.
And they didn't know what I meant. Of course, nobody knows. They need to know.
Amen.
They are in darkness. They are undone. They are lost. They need to know. Like the people in Antigua, they need to know. Why? We invite you to come and help us if the Lord is putting that in your heart. Okay? Don't come if the Lord hasn't done anything in your heart. Please. But if the Lord is knocking at your hearts and the Lord is telling you, come to the work in Antigua, mi casa es su casa.
Amen.
I hope you got that.
Yeah.
You will have a home in Antigua.
Amen.
We'll take care of you. Oh, we eat good.
Amen.
And we work hard, very hard. The harvest is plenty.
Amen.
And the laborers are few. We need laborers, don't we, Pastor? We need laborers.
Amen.
Jesus is passing by the mills, the son of an honorable man, and he's crying out. People are crying out. They need to know. Kids in Shepherd Key, you know, when we do the preliminaries, they say, like, Brother Daniel, pray for my dad. Hey, pray for my grandmother. She is sick. Hey, the world is in a big need of Jesus. Hey, let me tell you, there are going to be a lot of opposition, you know. People don't want to hear also, you know. Some of them, they aren't ready. Like in Antigua, if I talk to people, they will say like, oh, we know Jesus. We know who that is. Oh, yeah. No, they don't know. Probably they know him, but they haven't heard about Jesus here, okay? So here we are with body males crying out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And there's going to be things in this world that are going to tell you, not, don't go, don't preach, don't testify, don't do this. Oh, no. You're going to get busy if you start seeing the things of the world. But when you put your eyes upon Jesus, he will make a way. Because he's the way.
Yes, that's right.
So you see Bartimaeus, he cries out. And the crowd says, no, hey, be quiet. What Bartimaeus does? He cries out more. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.
Amen.
And our beautiful Lord, our Savior, he stops, he looks at him, and he says, bring him to me, por favor. And he comes our chances. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. What are you going to do if the Lord called you to preach? Are you going to postpone it? What are you going to do when the Lord called you to testify? There are many things in Antigua very difficult. Like walking up the hill. You know, when I heard the name Hilltop, I thought the church was walking on a hill. And I thought, like, good Lord, help me out. Not another hill. I have enough in Guatemala. But the work has to be done. It has to be done. If we want to see those pews with a bunch of beautiful people, we got to do the work of the ministry. Right. You know, the pastor, what the pastor does, he feeds the flock. He protects the flock from heresy, from other animals, from other things. He protects, he feeds. But what do? We do the work of the ministry. We don't reject like the crowd was doing to Bartimaeus. No, we call them. We help them to come forward. Hey, have a seat. Hey, I invite you to my church. Hey, come and hear. We're going to have a revival. Amen. Amen. I hear you're going to have a revival. Amen. So let's be prepared with minds and hearts about bringing our friends, bringing people in to hear the good news of salvation. That's our job. So he's been called out, and Jesus is going to ask the question, the biggest question we can be asked. What can I do for you? Yep. So brothers, sisters, what the Lord can do for you tonight. I don't know what you're going through. It might be someone sick in the family. It might be you've been a little discouraged. I don't know why. But that happens because we have an inner man, but also we have an outer man. And that outer man gets us in trouble many times. I don't know what you're going through. But the Lord is asking you, asking me a question tonight. What can I do for you? I'm praying for my son Marco. He hasn't joined the mission yet. And that just grieves my heart. Because even though he has testimony, he hasn't joined the true church. He's going to another church. So I'm praying for Marco. I don't know what you are you praying for. But the Lord is asking us all tonight one simple but deep question. I don't know what you're going to ask for. But sometimes, you know, we ask for material things. Things that are going to stay here. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's ask for the better things, you know. Amen. Things that are going to last forever. Amen. And the Lord is willing to give it to you tonight. You know why? Because we have something that we call faith. And without faith, it's impossible. But with faith, everything is possible. Amen. So I will conclude this. And Jesus answered and said to him, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And the blind man said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." This verse just resonates with me also, because that was the time when I received my sight, okay? I remember when my dad, he was completely lost and undone, he became saved. I remember that he used to drink a lot. I mean, he was going to church with my mom, but he had an alcoholism problem, and I was little. But boy, I remember when he just threw all those bottles away. Amen. And I didn't know. I couldn't understand what happened. What happened, Daddy? You know, you treasured those things. And he said, "No, I'm done with this." Amen. And from that moment, his life changed. And I believe I'm going to see him in heaven. What is he going to do for us tonight? He can do many things, as I said, you know, but the most important thing he can do for us is he can save us. Amen. He can change us. He can give us eternal life. Amen. And the most important thing we can do for him is to follow him. And that is in the verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, that faith had made thee whole." And immediately He received his sight. But you know what happened? And followed Jesus in the way. He wants to do something for us. But he wants us to do something for him. And that is the work of the ministry. Brothers, I am thankful for your prayers. I am thankful for your support. If you ever have that desire in your hearts, the only thing that I will ask you is come and see. Come and see. Like the Lord, you know, asked the former disciples. Come and see. Because if you come and see, you will get to experience firsthand what the Lord is capable to do. I'm not saying that cannot be done in America. But also the Lord is the Lord of Central, South, and the whole world. Amen. Not only the Americas. He can be the Lord of everybody in the whole world.
Amen.
So the Lord is calling us to work together. Because I believe there is a great awakening coming up. I do believe that because I read it in the Bible. Because the final times are coming. So the Lord is asking us to be ready. You know what Buddy Miles left? His garment. I don't know. When I think in that, that was his only position, you know? He didn't have anything else. I believe his garment was the only thing he covered up with from the sun, from the wind. He would have sit in his garment. But you know what? He just threw it away when the Lord called him. I don't know what you're going to left out. I don't know what you're going to throw away. I don't really know. But I hope and I pray that all of us come together as one. Okay? And together we continue working for the Lord and Almighty Jesus Christ and his work everywhere he will send us.
Amen.
I really appreciate the time. I really appreciate your prayers, your love, the way you received us. I truly feel at home. And please forgive my southern accent, okay? I'm serious. Because I live way southern from you. I live in Central America, okay? You thought your accent were... No, I have a worse accent. So forgive my southern accent. Brother, I tell you, I love you. Brothers, brethren, I love you. Pastor Mike, thanks for stopping by my door.
Amen.
Thanks for being my mentor. Thanks for being such a humble man. Because I have learned so much from you. I love you with all my heart. Did you imagine 2 years after we met, I would be here? Well, you're in trouble. But I love you. I truly love you, brother.
Amen.
And I give honor because you deserve it.
Amen.
Okay? Even though you will say, no, he deserves all honor and glory. But I have it in my heart, so I have to say it. You've been such a blessing to me and my family. The times you have talked with my boys, the times you have prayed for them, thank you very much.
Amen.
Thank you for the time. This is what I had in my heart. I hope it blesses you.
Amen.
Because he has blessed me.
Amen.
If you want to talk more about Antigua, I can say many more details, but you get more about it. But I love you. Thank you for listening to the word of the Lord.
Amen.
God bless.